This morning I want to spend some time thinking about one of the most famous chapters in the whole Bible, and it's Psalm 23, and the psalm was written by David, who was himself a shepherd. It's called "The Lord is My Shepherd" often. David understood the care and effort that he had to make to care for his sheep, and so he understood that God took the same care and effort in looking after and taking care of him. And this is what David says. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." You know, the sheep in ancient time were totally, completely dependent upon the shepherd, and one of the shepherd's main jobs would have been to provide food and plan that food supply. And in springtime there would have been fresh green grass. Later in the year, after the wheat had been harvested, the shepherd would take the flock and feed on the leftover grains after the harvest. When pasture was exhausted, the shepherd would move his flock on. Keeping them fed was a top priority. You know, sheep never worry. David didn't worry. He declared, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." You know, another job of the shepherd was the protection and care of the flock. And he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." It's God's plan and purpose as your shepherd to care for you and to refresh your soul. I love the phrase, "He makes me lie down." Have you ever tried to make something lie down that didn't want to lie down? Maybe your dog or your child, perhaps your fringe. Particularly in these days, we're all going to be cutting our own. Could be interesting. You know, we can often, as humans, get so busy, and often the answer we give to people when they say, "Oh, how are you?" would be, "Oh, I'm really busy." And it can almost become like a badge of honour. "I'm busy" means, in our head, what I'm doing is really important and it's part of my identity. Yet God wants to make us lie down in green pastures. He wants to lead us beside quiet waters. He wants to restore our souls. You know, when we first began to go into this lockdown situation, internet suddenly flooded with loads of things to do while you're stuck in. Things to avoid being bored. But you know, I hope and pray at this time that we will prioritise being as much as we prioritise doing. We are human beings, not human doings. And yes, we could fill our entire time with Netflix and art projects and exercise and gardening and everything at this time. But you know, let's have our souls restored. If you suspect God wants you to lie down in green pastures at this time, don't be that rebellious child who just won't lie down. You know, you're trying to put your child to bed and they lie down and you leave the room and oh, they're up again and again and again. Don't be that child. Allow God to make you lie down in green pastures. Allow God to restore your soul at this time. You see, restoration of your soul is the goal. I know that rhymes, didn't mean to, but it is. It's the goal. It's your soul. That's what God's interested in, way more than what you do. It's who you are, and that's important in God's eyes. And God's eyes are on the goal. You know, we can have our eyes on all sorts of things, but God's eyes are on the goal of soul restoration. And God wants to lead you in the right paths, the right direction. And he says, for his name's sake. His name is at stake here. And we are not going to hear his guiding voice if we never step away from the noise and lie down. And we have that opportunity at the moment in many ways, although you may be in a house that is full of people right now. I know mine is, normally it's empty in the day, but it's full at the moment, and it can be difficult to carve out those times of quiet, but do it. Do everything you can to do it. It's hard, particularly if you've got young children, but try and prioritise some space, some time of space, some green grass moments with God at this time. Let him restore your soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The darkest valley is a time of deep trouble and darkness. Some translations call it the valley of the shadow of death. And I once heard it explained this way. Imagine you're stuck on a pavement, perhaps waiting to cross the road, and it's sunny and the sun is on your back. You can feel the warmth of it, and suddenly a large truck comes along and parks alongside the road where you're standing. Suddenly you're hit by the shadow of the truck. The sunlight will be cut off, the temperature may drop a few degrees, but you know what? You've been hit by the shadow of the truck. Being hit by the actual truck would be so much worse. And it's a little bit like this. In our darkest times, we can feel that we're hit by the valley of the shadow of death. But it's the shadow of death. You see, death itself cannot hit us. We have eternal life in Jesus. Jesus has conquered death. Therefore, the best the enemy can ever do is hit us with the shadow of death. He can take us into the valley of the shadow of death, but he cannot take our souls. He cannot bring us to that place of death itself, which is an amazing thing. And at the moment, you may feel a little bit like I'm in that dark valley. A lot of us, all of us really, are in that state of what's going to happen, you know, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to get to the end of this? And it's not easy. This doesn't necessarily make the dark valley easy to get through. But David says, I will fear no evil because you, the shepherd, are with me. And I hope these words are helpful to you just in a small way at this time. You know, we are in that dark valley. We're hidden away in our homes. Normal life has been suspended. But we don't need to fear. And, you know, I'd just like to say a little aside at this point, really. Sometimes people are assuming at this time that if you're taking reasonable precautions to avoid the coronavirus, this means you're living in fear. And I really, really don't agree with that, you know. God has given us wisdom as well as faith. You would not normally drive along the road without a seatbelt, I hope, or eat a terrible, unbalanced diet all the time, or walk right near to a cliff edge with no fence. Perhaps you would. I hope you don't. But you know, this isn't because we're fearful. It's not because you fear going over the cliff edge particularly, or you fear driving without your seatbelt. You do it because you're sensible. And washing your hands regularly at the moment and staying indoors, keeping away from people as we're being told to do, are not signs of fear necessarily. They're signs of good sense, and they're actually signs of love for our community and a desire to protect those that are vulnerable around us. So if people avoid you, if people avoid shaking your hands, if people are keeping away, it doesn't mean they're fearful. It may mean they love you. It may mean they care about you. It will mean that. And it may mean that they're taking sensible precautions that God has given us the wisdom to accept. But you know, if you're sitting at home and fear is gripping your heart, then that isn't the point that we want to be at. And you remember, God is with you. You may be that there is no other human being with you where you are at the moment, physically. But God is with you. He won't leave you. And the rod, as in the rod and the staff, the rod speaks of God's authority and discipline, and the staff speaks of having something to lean on. And both are important. You know, last week when we were talking about having to possibly close down our services, we talked and debated, and it was just really difficult to know what to do for the best. And then the government came along and said, all gatherings need to end. And suddenly, straight away, it was easy. You know, job done, decision made. And sometimes in life, you just need someone to give you the guidance to kind of make the rules up for you, put those in place, take the decision out of your hands. And in a way, God's rod has done that. God's guidance and his discipline and his instruction has taken away the, how should we do this? Should we, shan't we? It's taken all the sort of unclarity away. It's clarified things. It's made things easier. because we just follow what God tells us to do and we trust him. And that can be a comfort, because it means we know that we're going in the right direction. And his staff, you know, a staff is a weight-bearing thing. We can lean on a staff. If you're going for a walk and you have a stick or a staff, you walk, you lean on it. It also brings balance, and it gives extra strength. And maybe you need some strength and some balance in your life right now. Maybe you need someone to take some of that weight. And that's what God does. You know, we lean on his rod, his direction, his discipline, but also his staff. You know, we are flowed to him. We come into his presence and we give ourselves to him. We allow him to strengthen us. We allow him to give our life balance. You know, if you're constantly feeding yourself at the moment on media, in the news and social media, your life will start to feel very, very insecure and off balance. But God brings that balance back. When we spend time in his presence and we lean on his word, we get that balance back in our lives. That's what his staff is for. And he goes on, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Can you imagine God preparing a table, a feast, just for you? Even with your enemies watching from the sidelines. It's like God comes along and he chooses you and he looks at you and he takes you by the hands and leads you and says, "Sit down." This is no longer the shepherd relationship. This is more of a relationship of friends. You know, you are a friend of God. And the oil, he talks about anointing your head with oil. It represents rejoicing. And last week we looked at the verses in Philippians where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." And here we see that cup of oil, that cup of rejoicing overflowing. And we can rejoice in God even in the hardest of times. That cup can overflow. And you know, in ancient times, if you were in the presence of the king, you would have your cup filled probably with wine, and you were welcome in the presence of the king as long as your cup was filled. And if you finished the drink and it was refilled, it meant that the king still wanted your company. If your cup was allowed to run dry, it was time to make your apologies and get out of there. And you know, the Bible says your cup is overflowing. The king always wants your company. The cup is always overflowing. You know, I've already said, you know, make time in your schedule to spend with God, to spend with the king at this time. It will do you good. "Surely his goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the word "follow" there isn't a passive thing. It's not like I see something on social media I like and I click follow. Or there you go, I'm following. It's in the context of a pursuit. It's almost like an attacker pursuing a subject. God's goodness and love pursues you. It doesn't kind of just hang around after you. It actually relentlessly pursues you through your life. And we've sung a song that said "reckless love," and the words in the bridge part says, "There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me." And it's that idea of pursuit, God pursuing you with his love and his kindness and his mercy and his goodness. And it's not just today, it's not just on the good days, it's not just on the bad days, but all the days of your life. "And one day when life is on earth is over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day the sheep will live with the shepherd in his house forever." That includes you. And you know, those words are very, very famous, but I want to read them again from the Passion Translation, because often when we read words that we've heard so many times before, we lose the impact of them. But allow these words now to settle in your heart. This is Psalm 23 from the Passion Translation. "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure. and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness, so that I can bring honour to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words that many of us have known for many, many years. And yet today we think about them afresh, God, and we thank you that even in the darkest times, even in these times we're living in that are strange, God, and life has sort of gone on pause in many ways, and we don't know the future, and it can feel fearful. But God, we just thank you for your goodness and your love that pursues us even in days like this. And we thank you for that eternal hope, God, that we have in you. I just pray against any sense of fear that may be in anyone's heart who's watching this today, Father. And I just pray that they will lie down in green pastures with you, that you will give them places of stillness and quiet in your presence, and you will restore souls during this time, Father. We just pray. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.